Hi, you are now listening to a sermon from Harvest Community Church in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Today you will hear a sermon from Pastor Frank Pizor. So without further ado, here he is.
Wonderful. All right, my name is Pastor Frank. I'm one of the two pastors here at Harvest. I want to thank you for coming here this morning. Before we start, I know we just prayed, but I'm actually going to invite us to about 75 seconds of silence. It's good to just kind of get our hearts reacclimated to the center of our lives, who is Christ. And during this 75 seconds, it's really hard sometimes to concentrate. So I'm going to ask you, if you are in Christ, to just simply say, I am a new creation in Christ. If you're here today and you still haven't met Jesus in a personal way, I'm just going to ask you to invite Christ, be a part of my life. Come into my life. So let's take that 75 seconds. I do have my timer with me, and that's done. I will pray for us. Amen. Hi, my name is Frank. I am a new creation in Christ. I was at one point in time in recovery for internal anger issues. I realize now that I am in recovery for a root of bitterness. This is how we start each and every one of my 12-step group sessions. Not just talking about me, but each and every one of us introduces ourselves. We state, I am a new creation in Christ, and then we state why it is that we're actually in recovery. And I brought the list today, so if you're interested later, there's a whole list of things that we are in recovery for. One of the reasons why we start out with this introducing ourselves and then saying we are a new creation in Christ is because it gives us hope. A sense that we don't have to stay the way that we are, that we can actually change, that Christ can make such a difference in our life. The things that are maybe our hang-ups, our addictions, our constant sins, are things that God can remove from us. And so when somebody introduces themselves and they hop right into recovery, we always say, hey, hold on a minute. Before you go on, you have to do the formula, which is, I am a new creation in Christ. So today I want to talk about being a new creation in Christ. And I think this is important because one of the things that I learned at the retreat that I was at for AFC was that often we as pastors have a tendency to tell you what to do, but not necessarily how. And so at the first night leaders meeting, the leaders were saying, wow, that was really great. We love the way you engaged. We love the way you connected. We love the simplicity of the point. That was wonderful. But the kids were asking, how do you do that? And then it made me think about, oh, man, I just did that in the sermon a couple hours ago. Because what I had shared with you was, stop doing this and start doing this. Put off, put on. Get rid of sin, walk in holiness. And never really said how. And so today I want to share part of the how of what it actually means to be in Christ. Because knowing that we have a problem, knowing that we have an issue is only the start. Because I've known about internal anger issues for years, I'm still in the same place because I know, but we have to move on. And part of that begins with recognizing that we are in Christ. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 and following. And they read this way, because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are right in our minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Now, I read to you out of the New Living Translation, and I like the New Living Translation because it makes everything simple and clear. But sometimes it misses some of the things. And one of the things I feel like, especially in verse 17, that it's missing is kind of like that I'm a new person, but it doesn't get really to what I feel is the root of it all, that I am a new creation. I have been remade. I have been recreated. Not someone who has been reformed, rehabbed, or re-educated. You see, when we come to Christ, we don't level up. We don't upgrade. We become an actually new creation. We don't turn a new leaf. We're living a new life under a new master. So I think the best way to illustrate this is an explanation of my house. My house is 70 years old. This year, we redid one of the bathrooms. Well, we did both bathrooms. And in one of the bathrooms, the downstairs bathroom, they tore up all the walls. And as they tore up the walls, they looked at the pipes and they said, these pipes don't look good. Well, they're 70 years old, obviously. And it looks like they're going to leak and you're going to have a problem. Because what we can do is we can rehab your bathroom, but you're going to have these pipes. They're going to blow out in a while, and then you're just going to have to go into the wall and redo it. So do you want us to do this now? And I said, yes, please, because it doesn't make sense to rehab something knowing that in its inner being, something is wrong. You got me? What do these pipes look like? James, put it up there, brother. You cannot see that as well as you can. So I'm going to do something that I wouldn't normally do. Please do not steal my banking information. I'm going to pass out my phone because I really want you to see with great clarity, we'll start here, as to what is in these pipes. Do not throw up. If you are squeamish, this is, pass it around. Let's go through the whole church so everybody can see what's on the inside. I think you get kind of an idea. Now understand, this is the stuff I took a shower in. Yeah, right? You sit there and think about that thing is just gunk. Some of that stuff probably came from the years that President Eisenhower was president. That's how long ago this was. Okay, now let me ask you a question. If you came over to my house and you look at that new bathroom and we didn't fix these pipes, you would say, that's been rehabbed. That looks beautiful. That looks great. But I know on the inside there's a ticking time bomb. There's something that's wrong. It needs to be recreated. Not rehabbed, not refurbished, just recreated, made new. You see, when you are a new creation in Christ, we are made new. There's something within us that completely changes when we become in Christ. When we look at Jesus and say, this is my need. I can no longer live for the old life, but I need to live for you, Jesus. I am a new creation. I surrender myself. And that's what this whole context of this chapter is, leading to this place that, like we mentioned last week, there are two ways to live. Not three. We make three, but there really isn't. In God's eye, there's only two. It is either you live in your old sinful ways or you live in the new creation in Christ. And what Paul here is telling them is this, oh my beloved Corinthians, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. You are a new person. You are different. So stop living in the old ways. See, because you seem to be stuck here and you don't get it because you should be here. And how do we then understand what it means to be in Christ? How do we understand what real change is? We can't just say stop and start if you haven't dealt with what's in your heart. You know what I'm saying? I once said in a sermon, stop pornography. Don't do it anymore. Be finished with it. What a foolish thing to say. It's the right thing to say, but it's foolish because if you don't deal with the how, then you're not really changing. You're only putting some cover over it and hiding what is actually there. We are a new creation in Christ, and the change that Christ makes is something that is interior, internal. I can tell you, stop being angry, start being forgiving. Not so easy when you put yourself in that place when you have a disagreement with somebody. We are a new creation in Christ. Now, let's move on. It has to start. If you want to change, it has to start with recognizing the fact that you are in Christ. If you are not in Christ, change is not so easy, let alone permanent. But here's where I think the NLT fails us. If you look at verse 17, it says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. I prefer new creation. And then in the New American Standard, which is a literal word-for-word kind of thing, it says, behold. And so you should have it up there. It says, verse 17, and this is the bold letters are what I put it, what the New American Standard would say. This means that anyone who belongs to, it's really who anyone who's in Christ, has become a new creation. Behold! Now, I like what the New American Standard says there, and this is why I encourage you looking at a lot of translations to get a bigger picture. But the behold is not like, behold, enemy's wearing a right shirt. That doesn't sound very exciting. Like, but behold, look at how white that shirt is, man. They definitely use Tide Boost at home. You know what I'm saying? There's an excitement. You know, it's Paul isn't just saying, yeah, you're a new creation in Christ. It's cool. It's good, man. I mean, like, no, you're different. Everything, you know, the old is passing. No, he says, behold. Look at this, man. Look at this closely. Look at this clearly. Understand who Christ is. Understand what Christ has done. Understand what Christ does. When you are in him, you are a new creation. And the sin which so easily entangles us, there's hope. You can be free. Because there's only two ways to live, your old way and your new way. We like to say there's an in-between and an intermixing, but there really isn't. In the eyes of God, there really are two ways to live. And the thing that Paul is doing, the way that he is calling them is to live as new creations in Christ. To live as though they are absolutely different. Now, the language here in these verses is pointing out that something has happened. Something big, something huge has happened. Some event has occurred. But it's not just the event, but it's the lifestyle that happens afterwards. You guys love to treat, right? I was across the lake. I missed you. I wish I could have been there. The retreat, we learned this. It's great, man. It is easy to be in Christ when we are surrounded by brothers and sisters 24/7. Where it really matters is when you get back to the real world and you have to live this lifestyle. There is an event, an important event, a massively important event. This coming to Christ, this being at retreat or wherever it is that you go that brings us to a place where we get into Christ. But then the call is to live it. Live it on a daily basis. It is called a walk. It is called a race. It's something that goes on and must be done daily. Why? Because we are called to put off the old life. We are called to put on the new life. How does this happen? We recognize first and foremost that we are in Christ. Being in Christ gives us a new perspective on life. No longer is it about what I want, what I need, but it is about what God wants, what he needs, what he calls us to. It's also, excuse me, it's also about this new life, a new life that we walk on a daily basis. It's a lifestyle. It's the one thing that I tried to get across at the retreat, was following Jesus is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's a continual putting off of the old and putting on of the new. It's a continuing, not walking in darkness, but walking in light. Not walking in death, but walking in life. Not walking in slavery, but walking in freedom. How so? Because we are in Christ. Paul says it here, the old has passed away. That sinful thing that used to hold you back doesn't have to hold you back anymore. Anyone here in the armed services? I know we have one gentleman. Oh, okay. Well, what branch?
Navy.
You're in the Navy. Oh, Navy. There's a Navy guy over there. Wave hi, Albert. Navy. Submarines? Okay, he was in the submarine. I'm bragging on him. He's you know. Until you get in the submarine, you really aren't in the Navy, right? Mm-hmm. Albert doesn't want to say anything, but, you know, he'd admit that's the truth. Anyone have been in the Army? Does the Navy have drill sergeants? Let's go from there. Throw me a lifeline. You're in the Navy, for crying out loud. They do? Do you have a drill sergeant? Okay, you do. Okay, so you guys did boot camp?
I personally didn't. I'm just an engineer. But
you're killing my illustration, bro. Albert, you got up, man. Are you offended that he didn't have a drill sergeant and you did? Okay, let's just imagine you're in the Army. You just got transferred from branches of the service. And in the Army, your sergeant says to you while you're in boot camp, drop and give me 20. What are you going to do? You're going to drop and give him 20. And so for the rest of your life in the Army, when your sergeant comes by and he says, drop and give me 20, you are going to drop and give him 20. When you get out and your drill sergeant walks by you and you are no longer in the Army and he says, drop and give me 20, you are going to? You're going to say, no, I'm not. I am free. Right? He no longer has power over you. He cannot tell you what to do. He cannot say you must do this and you must do that, because you can say, no, thank you. I am done. Here's my papers, bro. I'm free. Free. Freebird, baby. Sorry. Here's the point. What Paul's saying is this. This old life no longer has power over you. You let it have power over you. This new life is where the power is, because you are a new creation in Christ. The old domination that sin had over you is gone. The new domination that should be in your life is here, and it's present, and it is in Christ, your Savior, the one who has given you this freedom. And now you must take hold of it, and take hold of it by putting off and by putting on, and hold on to him and his life, which he has given to you. How so? Because you are a new creation in Christ. You are in Christ. You're on the bus. You're in the car. You're in the sanctuary. You are in. Walk in that. Walk in that. When you walk in that, then the old has passed away and the new has come. It is settled. It is a done deal. We have to walk in that. So, let me finish with this. How do you do this then? I'm going to give you three mind-numbing things that you will probably hear and hopefully will act upon, because you hear them so much. First of all, you need to start thinking new thoughts. Think new thoughts. The old thoughts are gone. The new thoughts have come. Take captive the old thoughts and say, you are a lie. Renew your mind with the truth. One of the pastors that I have in Standing Stone, in the midst of his struggles, when he grew up, his stepfather told him this: you are worthless. No one will ever love you. You will never do anything that matters. And he's also in this 12-step thing with me. And he had to take hold of that and say, that is a lie. The truth is that I do matter, and I am loved, and I have a purpose, and I have found it in Christ. He is one of the most solid people that I have met as a pastor at Standing Stone. He is solid, man. I just listen to him, and I think, I should be learning from you. Because he's in Christ. He's thinking new thoughts. That's where it stops. We think, and if you keep thinking, and you keep thinking on the negative, you know what happens? The negative just kind of builds this old Minecraft building that is almost indestructible until Christ comes along and destroys it. Getting you to think new thoughts, taking captive, putting off, putting on, renewing your mind. How do we renew our mind? Well, I have to say this. Don't just read your Bible. Don't just read your Bible. Actually, I'm going to change this. Rather than saying, rather renew your mind through reflection and memorization, which you should, let your Bible read you. That's what it really should. That's what I really should say. Let your Bible read you. Let your Bible read you and reflect on it and memorize on it. Because the one thing that I find, if you want to change your thinking, you got to change your thinking with something, right? Have you ever been in that situation where you say, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to, oh man, I just did it. Why? Because you're so focused on doing it. And so by renewing our mind with the Word of God, with the Scripture, the words that He has spoken to us, when you say, I'm not going to do this, you start saying, I'm going to do this. And your focus changes. And that reflection and that memorization of God's Word begins to change how we think as it changes our heart to that place where we really are understanding, I am in Christ. I'm finding that in the midst of all of my struggles in life, that one of the best things that really helps me is reflecting on and memorizing the Scripture. You've already done it. Do you know the disciples' prayer or the Lord's prayer, whatever you want to call it? I pray that every day, and every day it's fresh and new. Why? Because I always get stuck on that forgive us as we forgive others. And I think, oh man, I'm so unforgiven because I don't forgive. But it takes off my mind off that. That old sinful way of reacting, and says, this is what God is calling me to a new life, to a new lifestyle. Because remember, salvation, forgiveness of sin, is not about punching your ticket to heaven only. The whole call of Scripture, beginning to end, is living a new life now. Not when you get to heaven, but now. And then the final one is this. How do I really know I'm growing? Begin to measure your growth by your love. Are you growing in your love for God? Are you growing in your love for people? When you talk about, let's have a Bible reading program, are you reading it just to read it? Or are you really hungry to fall in love with God and His Word? Are you really hungry for that? Do you see that in your heart? Do you see that growing? Do you see that real strong desire to just listen to God speak to you? When you interact with people, is there a greater sense of, I want to love this person in a way that helps them be a better follower of Christ? Are you growing that, or are you loving them because there's something you want to get from them? You see, we need to measure our maturity not by the things that we do, but by the heart and how we love or don't love. Because if you can find yourself doing those God things in a routine manner, you've missed the point of meeting Jesus, your Savior, the one who has done everything to bring you to Him so that you might be in Him, that you might live in Him, that you might be changed, that you might be transformed, that you might not be this disgusting pipe with 70 years of junk stuck within it, but that you might be a clean pipe, a clean vessel, one that God can use. Because this verse 17, what follows, is a call to be ambassadors for Christ. And you can't be an ambassador for Christ if you live in the old life, because there's no difference between you and anyone else. The difference is when we walk in this new life in Christ and people say, I want what you have. I want what you have. I want this Jesus that you talk about. Let's pray. Our Father, you are in heaven, but you're also here. I mean, there's this place. But there's also this place, this here and now place. And I just ask, quite simply, as a church, that we would not just know we are in Christ, but live as though we are in Christ. May we begin to take captive the thoughts that push us towards sin, call them what they are, lies. May we renew our minds by entering into your word, reflecting on it, memorizing it, making it part of us. And ultimately, Father, I would ask that our measurement for spiritual growth, for spiritual maturity, is by the way we love. how we love you, how we long to be with you, how we long to be with our brothers and sisters, how we long to encourage them, strengthen them. So, Father, may we remember as we leave here, events are great, events are necessary, but our lives, how we live after, how we walk with you is very important also. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Harvest Community Church. If you would like more information or have any questions or comments, check out our website at harvest-community.org. Thanks for listening.